Aurelio Lopez Vasquez versus Alberto Gonzalez. Mr. Petty.
May it please the court. Sometimes in a case, having a bad lawyer is worse than having no lawyer at all. I think this is such a case. This petitioner is before this court because he believes that his previous lawyer's incompetence prevented him from getting a fair hearing on his application for withholding of removal before the immigration court in Chicago. Specifically, the lawyer presented no evidence of any kind other than the petitioner's testimony and relied on a written asylum application that had been prepared by a barely literate notary public. The lawyer offered no witnesses, no corroborating evidence as required by law, no background documentation, and not even an affidavit from his client setting out his story. At the hearing, the lawyer made no opening argument, no closing argument, and did not even articulate a statutory basis for his client's case, and the petitioner has asserted that the lawyer fell asleep during the hearing. 2 months after this hearing, the lawyer was disbarred by the Kansas Supreme Court, primarily because of his incompetence in representing immigrant clients. The petitioner then appealed the decision, arguing that his case had been he'd not had a fair chance to present his case because of the incompetence of his lawyer. The board, unfortunately, ruled in his appeal that he had not met the requirements of its 1988 decision in matter of Lozada, which set out a set of three requirements for a claim of ineffective assistance of counsel to be successful. The appellant had to do three things. The first was to submit an affidavit setting out the parameters agreed to between the lawyer and the client as to what the representation the lawyer would provide. The second requirement was that the petitioner would notify the former lawyer about the claim, presumably so that the lawyer could respond in some way. And third, the petitioner had to show that the client had filed a bar complaint against that lawyer. The board's decision in this petitioner's case rested solely on the failure of the respondent, or the appellant in that case, to meet the requirements of Lozada, although in his brief the appellant had addressed these issues in detail and had argued that Lozada should not control his case and that the requirements really didn't even make very much sense in the context of his appeal. The petitioner was unable to comply with the three Lozada requirements. First, an affidavit about his agreement with his lawyer would seem somewhat irrelevant. The lawyer did actually show up at the hearing, and I guess you could say was physically present during the presentation of a case for withholding of removal. It surely would be implicit in any agreement between a lawyer and a client that the lawyer would provide competent representation. In any event, the petitioner's an affidavit of that nature would have had to have been submitted with the appeal to the Board of Immigration Appeals. That would be deemed a submission of new evidence, which is not permitted under the rules of appeal to the board. The second requirement, requiring that the former lawyer be notified, was a little bit out of the question since nobody knows where this person is, and we don't know where to find him. That second requirement is a little bit troubling to me because I don't see a legitimate due process element in it. What it really does is it invites the former lawyer to defend his conduct, which would necessarily mean that he would be arguing that his former client is wrong and that the motion or the appeal of his former client should be denied. It seems to me ethically troubling to invite a lawyer to try to shoot down his former client's chances of success. The third requirement in Lozada is moot. The lawyer already was disbarred. I would note that the requirements in Lozada in that particular case and in every subsequent case that I have been able to find involved issue of a motion to reopen, removal proceedings, and in Lozada itself, that was the very issue. The issue was a lawyer's failure to file an appellate brief where the client claimed that he had been hired to do just that. And in that case, these three requirements make some sense. Similarly, this court in Stroh versus INS from 2001 dealt with essentially the exact same factual issue, a former client's claim that his lawyer had promised to file an appeal brief and did not do so. And in that case, this court held that the Lozada requirements were applicable.
What is the prejudice here?
The prejudice is that from the conduct of the hearing, as is set forth in the record of the hearing, is that there was essentially no competent presentation of the client's claim for withholding of removal.
How would it have changed the outcome if there had been competent presentation? What would have been different?
That's a good question. We don't actually know. We're not.
Well, then you have to lose.
Well,
you have to show prejudice. Accepting that there is a sort of thing called ineffective assistance of counsel in the context of immigration, which is a very open question, and it's all sort of considered in the under the umbrella of due process if it's a constitutional issue at all. And that, I think, is a very murky question. But even setting all that aside, you're going to have to show prejudice. And if you're just speculating on whether the outcome would have been different, then you lose.
I think a point, a kind of a detail I'd like to make is that in this case, the appeals that the petitioners made have never asked that the judge's decision be reversed. They're never claiming that that the judge was wrong and that he did prove his case. What he's arguing solely is that he never got a chance, really, to prove his case, is that he never really had a hearing that met even minimal standards for fair decision-making. So that I can't say that he would win his hearing, but I think that would boil down to an argument that he didn't really have a hearing. The other part of my argument really is that the immigration judge and the board has a duty to make sure that there's some kind of a basic due process component of the hearing where the appellant can make his case. And in this case, I think the record of the hearing and of the evidence was pretty clear. The court was on notice that the judge was problematic in that case, and the record of the hearing indicates that it was not presented well. In the extreme, I think it was the duty of the judge and of the board to review that without relying solely on what I think was a cookbook formula of the Lozada requirements, which really weren't applicable here.
Well, he did present his own testimony. He went through the whole dissertation. I guess it would have been better to have more evidence or whatever. But that's, as Judge Sykes says, what's the prejudice? What more should have been brought in?
Specifically, the law board decisions require, and now regulations require, or statute requires, that you must submit corroborating evidence. In the absence of corroborating evidence, you have to have a pretty good argument as to why you don't have any. And there was no effort made to do so. And in this case, the immigration judge denied the application for failure to provide corroboration for the applicant's story.
Okay. You want to reserve the rest of your time then?
Yes, I'll reserve. Thank you.
Okay. Ms. Moncrief?
Good morning. May it please the Court. Felicia Moncrief on behalf of the United States. You're absolutely right. There was no prejudice in this case. First of all, if we look at the board's decision and the matter of Lozada factors, those would have easily been met. I just want to touch on this very briefly. The three requirements, first, the defendant submit an affidavit setting forth the agreement that he had with his attorney, what he expected of his attorney, and what his attorney did not provide, could have easily been completed by the defendant. We have no indication that they had an agreement that an opening argument or closing argument be done, or that anything else be done other than set forth his testimony. In fact, any argument by counsel or anything like that wouldn't have been evidence for the immigration judge to consider anyway. Second, basically giving that attorney an opportunity to explain his conduct or refute it in some way, all the defendant had to do was send a letter and say, you know what, nobody ever got back to me, I can't find him. Third, all that was required for the third prong of Lozada is an explanation of why submitting the complaint would have been appropriate. Not that the complaint is made, but hey, this person's already disbarred, this is why it would be inappropriate for me to do this. Now, that aside, let's just say that the defendant had met all of those factors. The outcome would not have been different given any other representation. And that's because the defendant had a full and fair opportunity to explain his entire case to the immigration judge. We want to talk about whether or not there was corroborating evidence. You can see from the transcript that there was no corroborating evidence, and anything that might have been corroborating was brought forth by the defendant. The defendant made very general statements of these unknown mystery men coming after his cousin, and I think these men came to the door of my mother and my mother-in-law. However, he told the court what his mother said. He told the court what his mother-in-law said. The only person that could have identified these unknown G2 individuals would have been the defendant, and he wasn't present at either of the homes when those people came. The law states that since Mr. Vasquez did not meet the time requirements for requesting asylum, he's held to a higher standard under withholding of removal. And that is that there is a clear probability that he would be persecuted if he went back to Guatemala. Now, without going over every fact that is set forth in the brief, the times have changed in Guatemala. The circumstances are different there now. A peace accord was signed in 1996, and even from the defendant's own testimony, he says that these, again, unknown, suspicious G2 individuals, the last time that they could have possibly tried to contact him was approximately 8 years ago. This is a situation where if you believe the defendant's testimony, which the immigration judge did not, she said it was not credible, his cousin was murdered in front of him, possibly because he was selling chickens to a guerrilla faction in Guatemala, and he happened to be there at the time. All he says is later on he thinks he saw these same individuals, even though he's not sure of who they were because they were masked, because he saw them in town one day and then people came to his home or his mother's home later on, but he couldn't be sure that they weren't with the military saying, why haven't you come and reported for duty? The defendant was not prejudiced by the attorney's representation, and as this court is well aware, just because an attorney is disbarred for being ineffective in one or more cases, you have to look at the particular case of whether or not the assistance was effective in that case, and it was. And we'd ask that this court affirm the finding of the immigration judge as well as the board. And if there are no other questions, I'll conclude.
Okay. Mr. Petty, do you have some more?
Actually, I think the board could have cured my objections to its decision if they had done what counsel suggested, what their decision. If they had said, we've reviewed the case and we find that there's been no prejudice shown to the respondent by the application of, by the problems with his lawyer, is that he got a fair chance. But they didn't do that. All they did was simply cited a failure to respond to the three requirements of Lozada and did not discuss the substantive complaints about the conduct of the hearing that were in the appeal brief. I should also explain the brief that respondent submitted to the Board of Immigration Appeals did explain why we couldn't complete the Lozada requirements and why they weren't applicable here, and the efforts that, in fact, respondent had made to see if it was possible to comply. Counsel stated that times have changed in Guatemala. I don't know that that's true. That's a factual determination that should have been made before the immigration judge. Someone else represented responded, there may have been a chance to do that. It should be...
Your time's run out, so finish up.
Should be noted that my client is an unlettered man from Guatemala, third world country, and I think we owe a special duty to him to make sure that his case is well presented in court. Thank you.
Okay, thank you. Thanks to both counsel. Case will be taken under advisement. We'll move to the next case.